Sex is complicated. Even with someone you love deeply, talking about intimacy can feel impossible. When sex therapist Vanessa Marin's once passionate relationship with her boyfriend Xander cooled, they sought therapy, a pattern most long-term couples experience but rarely discuss. What makes sex talks revolutionary isn't just its frank discussion of sexuality, but its practical framework for having conversations most of us have been avoiding our entire lives. The book has become a cultural phenomenon, with celebrities praising its transformative approach and thousands sharing how these techniques saved their relationships. But why is talking about sex so difficult in the first place? Perhaps because we've all bought into the same misleading narrative about what intimacy should look like. We've all been sold the fucking fairy tale, that Hollywood version where sex unfolds spontaneously. But real-life sex requires work. When the initial spark fades, we feel confused that maintaining desire takes effort. This happens for biological reasons. Your brain chemistry changes after the honeymoon phase. Early relationships mimic OCD and cocaine highs, with surging serotonin, dopamine, and norepinephrine. After 1 to 3 years, this shifts to oxytocin and vasopressin, promoting bonding rather than lust. Stress compounds these challenges by releasing cortisol, shutting down libido. Life transitions further complicate things, especially children, with 67% of parents reporting plummeted marital satisfaction after having kids. Rejection triggers shame so uncomfortable that most people stop initiating. Sexual perfectionism creates anxiety-inducing standards that damage your drive. The truth? Real-world sex involves awkwardness and messiness, farts, queefs, bumped heads, and that's perfectly normal. To have meaningful conversations with partners, first develop sexual self-awareness. Recognize the two sex drive types. Spontaneous types feel mental desire first, then physical arousal. They think about sex throughout the day. Responsive types experience physical arousal first, then mental desire, rarely thinking about sex until engaged in physical intimacy. Neither type is superior. Identify desire dampeners by recalling times you weren't in the mood. Tiredness, body insecurities, fear of pain, or relationship tensions. Then reflect on what puts you into drive, feeling confident, enjoying your partner's initiation style, or adequate foreplay. When exploring pleasure, use the PLEASE acronym: position, comfort and angles, length, pace, environment, surroundings, activity, what you're doing, stimulation, where and how you're touched, and energy, mood between partners. Your sexual history contains valuable clues. Examine early memories, fantasies, masturbation experiences, and favorite moments with partners to reveal what you truly enjoy. Safety forms the foundation of a healthy sex life. To have great sex, you must know and enforce your boundaries while having partners who respect them. You can't genuinely consent unless you feel comfortable saying no. Boundaries fall into three categories: things that don't sound pleasurable, don't feel safe, or contradict your values. Create personal sexual guidelines by categorizing boundaries into red lights, hard no's, yellow lights, maybes, and green lights, enthusiastic yeses. This approach celebrates what excites you while honoring the nuanced maybes that depend on context or mood. While you can say no to any sexual activity for any reason, consider whether some boundaries stem from shame rather than safety or values. For those with sexual trauma, nearly 1 in 5 women and 1 in 14 men, common responses include avoidance of intimacy, complicated sexual history, self-blame, physical arousal during assault, non-concordance, dissociation during sex, and hypervigilance around touch. These aren't character flaws, they're natural trauma responses. The Take This Back technique helps dismantle sexual blockages by listing negative beliefs and returning this baggage to its source. Before diving into intimate conversations, establish these 9 golden rules. 1, name your intentions before sex talks. 2, work as a team against obstacles to your ideal sex life. 3, start softly. How you begin predicts how conversations end. 4, use I language instead of accusatory you statements. 5. Go slow and address issues one at a time. 6. Avoid always and never, which trigger defensiveness. 7. Make space for new behaviors rather than assuming unchangeable patterns. 9. Be compassionate. Everyone carries sexual baggage. Every couple needs 5 crucial conversations. Acknowledgement. Sex is a thing and we have it. Connection. What do we need to feel close? Desire. What do we each need to get turned on? Pleasure. What do we each need to feel good? And exploration. What should we try next? Most couples struggle with sex talks simply because we've never been taught how to have these conversations constructively. A fundamental relationship dynamic exists in most couples. One partner needs emotional connection before physical intimacy, while the other needs physical intimacy to feel emotionally connected. This mismatch causes tension in 75% of relationships. In heterosexual relationships, women typically, 86%, need emotional connection first, while men, 77%, prioritize physical connection. Even as a sex-first type, I believe emotional connection should precede physical intimacy in established relationships. Disconnected sex feels icky and can be re-traumatizing for abuse survivors. Logs are specific actions that help partners feel connected. Daily check-ins asking, "What do you need to feel connected to me today?" can transform your relationship. The bristle reaction is an involuntary physical recoil when your partner touches you. Creating structured touch time, at least 5 minutes daily of non-sexual touch, can help overcome this pattern. 2 proven forms of physical touch that deepen connection are the 30-second hug and the 6-second kiss, which release oxytocin, promoting relaxation, trust, and connection. The mental load is the invisible burden of tracking household needs beyond just chores. This imbalance affects intimacy, with research showing couples who share housework enjoying more frequent and satisfying sex. The fucking fairy tale whispers that true love and hot sex should come naturally, but intimacy requires protection and effort. When I suggest scheduling sex, friends often groan, thinking it sounds clinical. Yet we schedule everything else that matters. Why not intimacy? Waiting for spontaneous sex means avoiding responsibility for your intimate life. Planning doesn't have to feel clinical. Establish an easy win. One physical activity you're always willing to do regardless of mood, like cuddling or keeping your partner company while they masturbate. There's no universal frequency for all couples. A survey of 35,000 people showed nearly equal distribution among those having sex 2-3 times monthly, weekly, or 2-3 times weekly. Focus on quality over quantity. Once you're having sex worth craving, frequency typically follows. Sexual inertia works both ways. The longer you go without sex, the easier it becomes to continue the pattern. Don't ignore dry spells. Address them directly. Once you restart, momentum builds in your favor. What if we approached our intimate lives with the same intention we bring to other priorities?